So we've spent a lot of time, that's what I'd like to hear. We spent a lot of time since the start of this year, and we spent much of this time looking at what it is to learn to listen and to hear the voice of God. And our example throughout this has been Samuel. But last week we saw there's another lesson that we have to learn from Samuel. There's another lesson, because on the night that God spoke to Samuel, called him and spoke to him, God called Samuel by name. He called Samuel by name. It is intimate and personal. And God is calling each one of us by name, intimately and personally. It is a beautiful truth that the God of all creation knows you, loves you, and calls you by name. We saw that last week in the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 43. And then we saw it again in the New Testament through Jesus, with Jesus as the Good Shepherd. When Jesus as the Good Shepherd said, he calls his sheep by name, and we who are his sheep, it says we hear his voice. We do hear his voice. We need to learn to hear it, but you are hearing his voice at all times. It's intimate and it's personal. This is how it says it in John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We're going to come back to that in just a second. But another thing that we saw last week, remember, we saw that Samuel and a few others, they were called by name, by God, twice. Samuel. Called by name twice. And we queried, what's the reason for calling? God calls a lot of people throughout the Bible by name, but only seven times do we see him call people by name twice. What is the reason? What's behind that? And we saw that part of the reason for that is because there are two yous. There is the you that is here in this physical world, and there is the you that you have the potential to become in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Two yous. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to what John said, or what Jesus said in the book of John as the shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, is calling you by name. He's calling you by name. He is calling you into the day that he has prepared for you. And he wants us to follow him into all that which he has prepared for us. He's calling us by name. And he is calling and speaking directly to you. And so it is personal, it's intimate, and we need to remember that personal nature and that intimate nature. But we need to also understand, remember, that he said he is calling them out. He calls them to lead them out. He's calling you by name because he is leading you out of the things of this world. He's calling you by name twice. He's calling you by name to lead you out of the things of this world and to lead you into your full potential in him. Now, that doesn't mean he's calling to lead you out of the world, like out of this life, but it means he is calling you out of the things of this world, out of the hold of the world, out of the influences of this world. He's calling you out of those things by name so he can call you into your full potential in him through the Holy Spirit. That is encouraging to know the plan that he has for us. And it's encouraging to know that if I stop and listen every day, he's calling us by name because of his great love for us. Now, we also saw last week in John chapter 2 that there were many who saw, they witnessed the signs or the miracles of Jesus. And they believed in his name. That's what the Bible says. But it also says that Jesus did not commit himself to all of them because Jesus knew their hearts. And Jesus would not commit himself to those whose faith he did not believe in. This is how it says it in John chapter 2. Verses 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. He knows their hearts. And so he only commits himself to those that he believes in their faith for him. If I want to hear the voice of Jesus Christ calling me by name, he's calling us by name. if I want to hear his voice calling me by name twice, if I want to be able to hear him as he is saying, Todd, Todd, and he's calling me out of the things of this world and the holds of this world, and he is calling me into his full potential for him, I need to fully commit myself to him. It can't just be that I am following you for the things that you can do for me, Jesus. It is I'm totally committed to you as my Lord and Savior because you are holy and you are worthy of all of that I can give to you. Every sacrifice, whatever I can give to you, you are worthy of all of that. That's what we have to receive because Jesus is calling you by name. He's calling each one of us. He's calling you by name. So we need to learn to listen, to hear, and to obey. Now, last week we learned a lot about the call of Jesus by name from one of Jesus' disciples. We learned about Nathanael. But there's much more that we can learn about Jesus' call, he's calling you by name, and the intimacy of that call from another one of Peter's disciples, perhaps arguably the boldest of Jesus' disciples, Simon Peter. So he is Simon Peter. His name was Simon. But Jesus called him Peter because Jesus was able to see what was in his heart. Jesus saw the very things that he had created and instilled in his heart. And seeing Simon's potential in the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls him Peter. We call that the rock, Peter, the rock. Peter is the small rock, small stone or rock, that is part of the bigger rock of Jesus. He's the small stone or rock that comes from the bigger rock of Jesus. That's Peter. But let's consider, because we never think about this, let's consider his given name, Simon. Do you know what his given name means, Simon? It means he who hears. Do you think that fits into all we're talking about? Simon means he who hears. And in fact, if you take it to its full extent of its meaning, Simon means he who hears, understands, and obeys. Simon means he who hears, understands, and obeys. And remember, Simon's one of just seven that we know in the Bible that God called by name twice. Simon, Simon. Jesus called Simon by name. He called him by name twice. He called Simon because he was calling Simon Peter out of the things of this world and into his full potential in Jesus. So here's the thing. The one who hears, Simon is he who hears. The one who hears is the one who is able to hear his name called twice. The one who hears is the one who's able to hear his name called twice. Jesus is calling you every day. He's calling and he's speaking to us. But as I learn to hear his voice and understand and obey, come to the place where I hear him call me twice, out of the things of this world and into his full potential that he has set aside and planned for me. He who hears. We need to be those who... Peter was one who heard. That was his name, Simon. Peter is one who hears. Now, think about this. When Jesus was asking his disciples, who does the world say that I am? Or who do men say that I am? The disciples gave all these different answers from what they had heard, from what men had said. But then Jesus asks that critical question of them. It's personal. It's intimate. He asks them, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And it's Peter who responds immediately. It's Peter who responds and identifies Jesus and says, you are the Son of the living God. Now, notice what Jesus said in answer to that. Jesus told Simon Peter, this did not come to you by flesh and blood. You heard this directly from the Father. See, Peter is one who hears. He hears, understands, and obeys. He has ears to hear. This is the way that it says it in Matthew 16, verses 15 through 19. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. He's saying, blessed are you, you who hears, you who is able to hear. Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter is learning. Peter is one who listens, and he is one who hears. And we're going to see very shortly that Jesus is going to call him by name twice. He's going to say, Simon, Simon. He is going to call him by name twice. But right now, Jesus is focused, or he's re-emphasizing or reinforcing the name that he gave to Simon, Peter. He's reinforcing that name because it means he who hears. So he's reinforcing that name because as Simon Peter has learned to hear, he's lived up to his given name, he who hears. And because he's lived up to his given name, he who hears, Jesus is now going to develop him further. He's going to develop Simon Peter into the person that he sees Peter can be, the one who is the stone, the one who is the rock. He sees those qualities. Simon is one who hears. Simon hears, and Jesus calls him Peter, Petros. What we say is the rock. It is correct to say rock, but a more correct interpretation is a small stone or a small rock. Peter is Petros, a small stone, a small rock. But Jesus says that the faith that is behind Peter's affirmation of who Jesus is, when Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God," Jesus says that the faith that is behind that affirmation, that is Petra. So Peter is Petros, a small rock or stone. But that faith, Jesus says, that kind of faith that Peter exemplified and exhibited, that is Petra. Petra is a mountain of rock. Peter is a small rock, but that faith, you have the faith of Jesus inside of you. That faith is a mountain of rock. It's the mountain of rock that Jesus is going to build his church upon. And remember, Jesus did not commit himself to those that he did not have faith in, he did not believe in their faith. He doesn't commit himself to those that he did not believe in their faith. But he clearly believes in Peter, and he knows Peter's heart, and he believes in the faith that Peter has, and he is committing himself to Peter. So Peter is the small stone or the small rock that is part of the larger, the giant, the mountain of rock that is faith. And Jesus calls him Peter, Petros. He's the small rock that's part of Jesus, the big rock. But as you and I, as we learn to hear, to listen and hear as he calls us by name, as we learn to hear him call us by name, and we learn to listen and hear his voice, he then develops us into his rocks, just like he did Peter. Peter lived this. Peter understood this principle. Peter understood it better than anyone else. And in fact, Peter speaks this very truth to you in his epistle. One of my favorite verses, and it truly is. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As we learn to hear, he develops what he sees in us. He develops us into those living stones that he is using to build up his spiritual house today. Now, as we move forward in Peter's life, and as we move forward in Peter's development as a disciple of Jesus, as we move forward in these things, we do see that it does come to a day when Jesus does call Peter, Simon Peter, by name twice, Simon, Simon. And we see this in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you ever turn to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, first of all, notice that at this critical juncture, this critical moment in Simon Peter's life, when Jesus is calling him, he doesn't call him by the name that he gave him, Peter. He calls him by the name Simon. Simon, Simon. Simon, the one who hears. Jesus is saying to him, Peter, this is the moment that you need to be Simon. You need to be who your name is. You need to listen, understand. You need to hear, understand, and obey. because Jesus knew what lay ahead for Peter. He knew that Peter was going to become that one who would open up the door of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to all the Gentiles. And we read that in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. He knew what was coming. And Satan did not want the work of Jesus Christ to be fulfilled through Peter. He didn't want that. But we know that Jesus prayed for Peter. And Jesus called Peter by name twice, Simon, Simon. He called him by name because at that moment, he is calling Peter, he's calling Simon Peter, out of the things of the world and out of the hold of the world. He's calling him into his full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus also said to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. If Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail, Peter's faith didn't fail. Peter's actions failed, but Peter's faith did not fail. You know, for all of us, we always are falling short in our walk with Jesus. And we're probably falling short daily in our walk with Jesus. But Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you and interceding for you just as he did for Peter. And that is a comforting thought. Indeed. Yeah. Just as we had sung earlier. Satan wants you to focus. He wants you to remember all of your failures, all of your shortcomings. He wants you to remember those things. He wants you to be discouraged, just as certainly Peter must have been discouraged after he denied Jesus three times. Satan sifted Peter. Why? Because he did not want Peter to become all that he could be in Jesus Christ. He certainly did not want Peter to be the one who would take the good news, the gospel of Jesus, to the Gentiles. He's upset enough that the truth is coming to the Jews. Now he's going to take it to all the Gentiles. He didn't want that to happen. He didn't want Peter to be the one who would write those epistles. He didn't want Peter to be the one that would become the leader of the early church. He didn't want Peter to become the one that you and I would still read about today and be strengthened and encouraged and learn from. Satan did not want Peter to become all that he could be. And guess what? Satan does not want you to be all that you can be in Jesus either. He doesn't want you to reach your full potential in Jesus either. But Jesus is praying for you and interceding for you just as he was for Peter. So let's be like Peter. Let's be the ones who hear. Let's be the ones who hear his voice. So we can hear his call as he's calling us by name twice. And he's saying to each one of us, he's saying, I'm calling you out of the things of the world. And I'm calling you into your full potential in me. Now, Jesus certainly understood. He knew how Satan was going to sift Peter. He knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. Jesus knew what was coming. But remember, when Jesus prayed for Peter, in part of his prayer, after his prayer, he said to Peter, when you return, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter's faith. He knew that Peter would return to him. He knew that. And we see that moment of Peter's return. We see that fully demonstrated, and we see that moment of Peter's return at the very end of John's gospel. It's at the very, very end of John chapter 21. And it's that moment that Peter, it's that moment when Peter affirms three times his love for Jesus. We see that moment demonstrated, and we know that Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he's trying to call Peter into that full potential that he has for him during that time. And remember that Jesus had said to Peter, when you return, strengthen your brethren. Well, what is it that we see that to Peter all three times that Peter, that Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? Three times. Simon Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what does Jesus say all three times? It's some variation of feed my sheep. So this is the moment Peter has been restored and Jesus says, feed my sheep. In other words, come into your full potential now in me. This is what I have for you. Now, I want to take just a little bit of time and look at chapter 21 of John. And I'm going to look at that exchange between Peter and Jesus. Because it's something that we consider a lot, but I want us to look at it with a fresh approach, with fresh eyes, and look at it today. So in John chapter 21, In this section, what's taking place is Jesus, of course, has already been resurrected. He's already appeared to his disciples multiple times. But we see that some of the disciples have gone back to Galilee because Jesus did say to Mary, tell them, I'm going to meet them. I'm going to see them back in Galilee. So some of the disciples are back in Galilee. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're fishing. It's morning. And Jesus appears on the shore, and he speaks to them in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And John says to Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter responds by jumping into the water and swimming to shore to Jesus. And then we see that great moment when the net is cast out. They bring in that great haul of fish, 153. We spent a lot of time a few months ago learning what that meant. And then after that takes place, we see that the disciples, they breakfast with Jesus. And then we come to those verses that are so familiar to us, and those verses that have been taught on so often, and let's read those together. This is John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 19. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. But he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said this to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He spoke this signifying by what death he might glorify. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, speaking about Peter, follow me. The first thing I want us to observe is notice once again that as Jesus is addressing Peter at this critical moment, how does he address him? He addresses him by the name Simon. Because he is reminding Peter, this is a moment that you need to once again, you need to be one who hears, understands, and obeys. And then Jesus asks Simon Peter three times, Simon, do you love me? And three times, Simon Peter answers, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Now, I think probably all of us have been taught, or all of us have heard this. We've been taught, and it's been said, that the word that Jesus uses when he speaks of love, when he says, Simon, do you love me? That he uses a different word for love, a different Greek word, than what Simon Peter uses when he responds and says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The word that Jesus uses is agape. The word that Peter uses is phileo. Now, it's been said, and I've heard this a lot, it's been said that the word that Jesus uses, agape, for love, is a higher form of love. So it's been said that Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me with this highest form of love? And that Peter then responds by saying phileo. Phileo means in part it means great affection. I have great affection. And so it's often said that Peter responds with this phileo love. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with great affection. We've all heard that, and it's true, it is two different words. But we need to reconsider the explanation that is usually given for that. Because Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me with this? Twice. He says it three times, but the first two times that Jesus says this, he uses the word agape. So twice, Jesus asks Peter, Peter, do you love me with agape love? And then all three times, Peter responds and says, yes, Lord, I love you with phileo kind of love. We really need to understand what those two words mean, because it is two different words. But we need to understand fully what those two words mean. So Jesus says, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Agape love. I want you to see this. This is what agape means. To prefer. Preferring to live through Christ. Jesus is asking, Peter, do you love me with this kind of love? to prefer, preferring to live through Christ and his power. It is to love, meaning to actively do what the Lord prefers. It involves choice and selection, allowing Jesus to live through the believers. That's the agape love that Jesus is asking Simon, do you love me with this kind of love? Now, Simon responds with phileo love. I want you to see phileo love. Now, I'm going to point out this first phrase, it's a warm affection. Okay, that's directly from the definition. This next part, but that's not the cooled down measure of love that some suggest. That's my kind of summation of a lot more. That would just take too much text. But then this again, where I have the quotation, this is part of the direct definition. It is intimate friendship characterized by tender, heartfelt kinship. So Jesus is asking one thing, and Peter is asking another thing. Now here's the thing. When you see phileo love, people like to say that this is some kind of a lesser love. I've heard that so many times. It's a lesser kind of love. It's not a lesser kind of love. In fact, Paul tells us that you and I, we must love Jesus. Paul says this. You must love Jesus with this kind of love, or you're accursed. Does that sound like a lesser kind of love? This is, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, that word love, that is phileo love. That is the exact kind of love that Peter expressed in response to Jesus asking him, do you love me with agape love? This is the kind of love that he responds with. Agape love is a love that is more of a head love. It is a love that is speaking. It's a love that is reasoned. It's a love that has esteem. But Peter is responding to that with a very intimate, a very personal kind of love, a heartfelt, passionate love, a love that is family, it's familial. It is a love that is a kinship. It's a brotherhood kind of love. It is an emotional kind of love that Peter is responding to. So think of it this way. Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you love me with agape love? He's asking this way. He's saying, Peter, do you love me to the degree that you are willing to live your life allowing for my choices for you? He's saying, Peter, are you willing to love me? Do you love me to the degree where you are willing to live your life allowing for my selections for you? He's asking Peter by this. He's actually calling Peter out of the things of the world. He's calling Peter out from that grip of the flesh, which has caused Peter to be discouraged and has caused Peter to be defeated. He is actually calling Peter into his own name that he gave him, Peter, the rock. He's encouraging Peter to step forward and to step into his full potential in Jesus. And if you doubt anything that I just said, consider what comes right after this exchange. Immediately after this exchange, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What's the next thing that happens? The next thing that we see happen exactly immediately after that is Jesus tells Peter what he has selected for his life and for his future. And then Peter responds to that by speaking, and this, he's expressing this intimate, personal, tender, from the heart, family, brotherhood kind of love, an emotional love for Jesus. He is affirming to Jesus that he loves Jesus and that he is committed to Jesus. And then, remember, the first two times that Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He used the word agape. But the third time that Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? The third time, he uses the phileo word himself. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me with this phileo love? Peter responds in kind. Peter responds in kind, and then what does Jesus say? Feed my sheep. He's saying it's time for you now to enter in. It is time for you to enter into the fullness, your full potential in me, and become the man of God that I've created you to be, and I've called you to be, and I've prepared you to be. Jesus is calling you by name. Jesus is calling you by name, and he's calling you by name in the fullness of his love for you. Calling you by name in the fullness of his love. We need to be the ones who hear, understand, and obey. Because it's the ones who learn to hear. The ones who hear are the ones who will hear their name being called twice. Do not be held hostage by the things of your past. Because you walk in the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is calling you by name. And he is calling you Henry. He is calling you Dave. He's calling you Donna, Dan, Doug, Tony. He's calling you by name twice because he is calling each one of us. He's calling each one of you. Brad, he's calling each one of us by name twice because he's calling you. He's calling you out of the things of this world. Not out of the world. I mean, not out of this life. But out of the things of this world and those things that would hold us in bondage. And he is calling you personally to enter into his full potential that he has for you. Let's learn to listen and hear him call because he's calling you by name. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the intimacy and the personal nature of your call. We want to be ones. We've learned so much about hearing. We want to be the ones who hear so we can hear you calling us by name twice. We want to hear so we can learn how to come out of the grip of the world, not of the things of the world, and we can come into and enter into our full potential in you so that we can glorify you by our lives lived daily for you. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the intimacy of your call. We thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand up and close in a song of praise this morning.